Chapter 14. No Witch Can Hurt Me. School started, Rennie and Julie were in the same class, and that was the worst thing ever. Rennie had such a terrible mix of angry, sourful feelings for Julie, and she also missed her a lot. They couldn't talk at all, though, because Julie hated her. But Julie was surrounded by hate. Now that Rennie knew better, she had to fix things. She had to find a quiet spot to talk. She would just die if she tried to be nice and Julie was mean and someone else heard. For a few days, she watched Julie on the playground, waiting for her to be alone somewhere, in a corner, or by the gate coming in, or after her friends had all run to the lineup. It never happened. How could it be that a person always had people near her? Finally, she couldn't wait another day. She hung around the edges of Julie's crowd at recess, staying far enough away that they ignored her. At the first moment that Julie stepped a little to the side, Rennie moved between her and her friends, trying to look calm. "Julie," she said, butterflies flitting around her stomach, "how's Tom?" In surprise, Julie shot out, "What's it to you?" "Just leave me alone." Julie walked away, but in that short time, the crowd of kids had moved near. "Yeah, leave her alone," someone said to Rennie. "Yeah," said someone else, "Italian traitor." Rennie tried to ignore that. "Julie," she begged, "I'm sorry about what I said that day." "What did she say? Hey, Julie, tell us. Did she swear? Was it awful?" "Must have been something only a wop could think of." Rennie got hot all over. All thoughts of kindness vanished. "You leave me alone." What was the use? It was good she'd buried the bracelet. It was good she'd been mean. She started off to look for her friends. "Where do you think you're going, rotten wop?" Someone pulled at her sweater. It was the big white one, Rick's. "Stop it," she hollered. "You'll rip my sweater." "Ah, poor Rennie, haven't you got clothes your own size?" The kids were following her, prancing, almost pouncing, surrounding her, keeping in front, behind, next to her. She had no space to move. "Stop," she hollered again. She was getting hotter. She was sweating. "Henny Rennie, without a penny. Ragged Rennie. Ah, don't rip her sweater. It's all she's got," they mocked. "Henny Rennie, without a penny. Stop it. It's my brother's sweater. He lets me wear it 'cause I like it." Rennie searched around for someone she knew. She spotted Julie watching. Julie had a troubled look in her eye, and Rennie called to her, "Julie, tell them." Julie said nothing. The others kept teasing. They pushed Rennie from every side, so there was nowhere to go. Someone pulled her sweater again. "Your father's a traitor. They shoot traitors." She couldn't stand it. She swung out her arm. Someone's nose started to bleed. The next thing she knew, a nun towered over her. "Black, mean. Rennie Tranny, this way," she ordered, turning Rennie toward the school and poking her between the shoulders with her classroom pointer. "To the office." Rennie grinned and walked in helplessly. It would do good to explain if the nun didn't already understand. She stood in the office without a word, looking straight ahead, breathing hard. At the nun's command, she held out the palm of her hand. "I am a powerful queen, and no witch can hurt me." The strap was clamped down upon her two sharp times. Pain screeched up her arm like fire, and her dream vanished. Her whole body tightened into a knot, but she didn't cry. She clamped her teeth together. She glowered and didn't say another word all day. After school, she couldn't face the garden or Mama or any of her friends. Instead, she walked around downtown 1, 2, 3 times. Finally, she stopped outside the chain link fence of the steel mill. Down the hill was its prison-like wall, nearly a mile wide, she thought, blocking the whole harbor. Its pipes were spitting their horrible smoke. It curled over the town like an eerie red devil. Up and down the street were demons of all kinds. There were miners coming home like black gremlins from underground. Slabs of cracked sidewalk pierced the air like tiny volcanoes. There were ragged dogs and wild kids howling and running in front of people. The whole town was ugly. She picked up a rock and hurled it at the fence. Clang, it fell back with a thud. She threw another and another and another with more force every time. Clang, clang, clang. Now she could face people. She went to the sparkling bakery that was missing her papa, but where many friends would be. Inside, people greeted her pleasantly and went about their talk as though nothing had happened. Rennie pulled up a stool and sat behind the far edge of the counter. She rested her chin in her good hand and stared into space. The noises about her were pleasant ones, a lot like one the day that the miners came bursting in. This time it was Mrs. McLean and Julie who came. They came quietly. Mrs. McLean looked shy, though she wore fresh lipstick as if it were a special occasion. Julie was behind her with a scowl on her face. The whole room fell quiet as the door eased shut. Rennie sat up and clutched her hands in her lap. Mrs. McLean glanced uncomfortably at the people she'd barely spoken to since June. There was a new look on her face, sorrow. She said, "Katerina." Suddenly, Mama's eyes lit up and she stepped forward with her hands out. She took Mrs. McLean's hand between her own two and said, "So wonderful it is to have you here. I can help you, yes?" She was smiling and excited. Rennie watched her in amazement, though it was Mama's true welcoming self. Mrs. McLean was quiet, surprised, but she relaxed immediately. She pulled her hand away and held onto it loosely. I've only come to apologize, she said. About my husband, I mean. He had no right to try to hurt you. Mama looked at her steadily. Yes, she said, but it was all right in the end. Thanks to Rennie, I understand. Mrs. McLean looked over at Rennie, who had been hoping she wouldn't be seen. Julie has an apology for you, Rennie, she said. She put her hand on Julie's shoulder and pushed her forward slightly. Julie glanced up at Rennie and then looked at the floor. I should have helped you today, she said suddenly. You didn't deserve the strap. I could have told what really happened. She hadn't looked at Rennie once while she spoke. She'd only said it because she'd been forced. If Rennie had a strap, she wouldn't. How come you didn't? She asked peacefully. Julie just shrugged. Mama was looking tense. At this moment of silence, she rushed over to Rennie and turned up her hands. She took the one with harsh red welts and cupped it between her own tenderly. What happened? She asked. This time, Rennie shrugged and Mrs. McLean explained. Julie says the children were teasing Rennie about Rick's sweater. They called her some terrible names and said, she paused for a long time. They said her father would be shot. There was a gasp then that went around the room. Mrs. McLean went on. Rennie couldn't stand it and she hit someone. Rennie was watching Julie, who was still looking at the floor. Julie wasn't sorry at all. We understand how Rennie feels about the sweater, too, said Mrs. McLean. Julie loves Tom's ID bracelet just as much, but she lost it in the beginning of the summer. She misses it terribly. Everyone was listening intently. Mama had her hand on Rennie's shoulder, and after a moment, she said, thank you to Mrs. McLean. She went and put two donuts in a bag and walked over to Julie. For you and your mama, she offered, handing them over. Julie took them, but her mother took them from her. No, she frowned at her daughter. We don't deserve them just yet. Thank you anyway. She put the donuts on the counter and went home with Julie. The bakery came alive with chatter. "I think now there is hope," said Mrs. Hobinski. "Things will get better." Later that evening, Mama sat with Rennie at the kitchen table. She had a soft yet stern look that gave Rennie a twinge of fear. She asked, "Do you know anything about the bracelet?" Rennie's eyes shot to the floor. Julie's words crowded her head. "Tom's braver than Rick. You're a rotten Italian and we all hate you. Don't be stupid. I'll pray your father never comes home." Rennie had tried to be friendly, and yet Julie hadn't helped her that afternoon or been sorry about it. Rennie wanted to scream out all the anger inside her. She held her trembling jaw tight, but before she knew it, she looked at Mama for one quick minute and lied. "No," she looked down. "I remember seeing you with it, but I gave it back. Then why aren't you looking at me?" Rennie looked up, was that doubt in Mama's eyes. "I gave it back," she said. The horror of the lie turned her stomach to rock. Where had kindness and bravery gone? "All right," said Mama.